Welcome, welcome, welcome.
if you're a podcast listener, that'll make some sense to you. That's from one of my favorite podcasts, Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. Anyways, every show he goes, welcome, welcome, welcome. And that's how you know you're on the deck. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you're not on playing Armchair Expert podcast right now. You're playing the Daddy Daughter Podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm here with my favorite human being on the face of the planet Earth right now.
Hi.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the folks.
I'm Hannah.
And
I'm Joel's daughter.
You like long walks on the beach, or tell me something about yourself.
No.
She's like, no, actually, nature. I don't really care for it too much. I'm a city girl.
Yep. Pretty much.
No, but seriously, tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Painting.
Painting. Okay. Paint. How about you tell me something that I don't know?
Even though I don't do it a lot, I really want to learn skating, or like how to ride my skateboard.
Skateboard?
Uh-huh. I'm going to be really good at it.
Really? Cool. I can
you
see
probably
it.
Knew that though.
You know,
I enjoy skating, but like yeah. I used to do it in this. I'm not used to. I still do it. Try to do it.
Yeah.
But I did it a lot and during the summer, just cruising around the street.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to watch. I used to just be out there.
But yeah, I'm gonna be really good at skating.
All right, really good. I like it. Really good means work. You know that.
Yep.
On anything, for anything.
I'm going to be good enough to go to the skate park and not fall.
Ooh.
But not like any like
every really skateboarder falls.
Yeah, obviously.
But it's the way you fall, dude. Well, kind of for real, though. It's like you fall, but you don't get hurt. It's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of falling and not getting hurt, you might hear a machine in the background. if you hear this machine that sounds like that, you can hear it right now. I don't know if you can hear it on the other side of the pipe. And then that.
The air, yep.
Yeah, that's an air cast. I am. Matter of fact, Hannah, why don't you tell people what happened to me?
So my dad recently got surgery last Tuesday. Last Tuesday.
Like 4 days ago. 5 days ago. Five days. Yep.
Yeah, so 5 days ago, he got surgery on his knee. He had a torn meniscus.
Yeah.
Had no idea what that is, but it's what he said.
It's one of my favorite words. It is. I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
And so he had a torn meniscus, and so he had surgery. He had like a camera put in there for the doctor to see. They didn't completely destroy his knee, but I think there's like two kind of like holes or like stitched up areas. Holes. Three.
Mm-hmm. There's one under each bandage and then one directly in the middle. You see the one?
Yeah. I didn't know if that was like Sharpie or something.
It's like a drainage hole. Yeah. Fun times.
Weird.
Meniscus. I like how you say meniscus like a nerd.
Meniscus.
Well, you say meniscus like a nerd because your nerd dad has said the word quite a few times. And it's one of my favorite words, though. And it's not because of what's in my knee. I'll get back to the surgery in a few minutes. But a meniscus is actually.
There we go.
It's the point. It's when you were pouring. Okay, so there's There's a way to measure alcohol when you're pouring a drink, right? And there is a meniscus, and a meniscus is the bubble point, the point that the measuring device is at its full capacity before spillage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the type of alcohol, the meniscus could be a round meniscus and go over, or it could actually dip before spillage. And depending on the type of alcohol, and the volume, and the quality, and the flavin. Anyways, meniscus is one of my favorite words. I've been using that word for like 20 years, but I just kind of meant it in like the measuring of alcohol bartending things. Anyways, it's probably... You probably didn't think that could embarrass you while sitting in the same room as you, and no one else is here. But I just did that.
Yep.
Anyways, so I'm really, though, curious, like, what has... So I had torn meniscus. Actually, it was also frayed pretty bad in there. There's pictures, and it kind of looks like a tapestry, you know, like, If you had a magic carpet, you know, the little tapestries that are hanging off.
You mean tassels?
Tassel. Or... It looks like a, yeah, but a tapestry is probably the right word, I think.
Tapestry
too.
Is a cover, Dad.
Yeah, it's that's one way that you could use the word tapestry. But a tapestry is also like, I keep thinking of
no,
like,
a tapestry is like the one, the Harry Styles tapestry I have in my room.
Yeah. So, the Harry Styles thing, that came like way after it was called a tapestry, like in Arabian times when there were really nice
and
rugs.
I have a tapestry at mom's house.
Yeah.
I have a, yeah, what's it called, mandala?
Yep, don't know. But the word tapestry, originally, before they were $20, like really cool sayings on like something that hangs in your bedroom, they were like really nice rugs, right? Mm. And so when one end gets frayed, that's what my meniscus looks like, the frayed side.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be smooth, right?
Like the tassels on the magic carpet in Aladdin.
Yeah, like that. Like that. You know? And so the way that I've kind of explained it is, imagine you have a carpet and you throw like a wire. No, like a wire or two wires or three wires underneath the carpet.
Oh.
If you step on the carpet, you can feel the wires underneath the carpet. Well, that was what was happening when those frays of my meniscus or those torn parts of my meniscus would go wrap under each other. And that's why it was so painful to walk, because like it was like those wires or cords would go underneath, get kind of trapped in my knee as my weight came down on it. And that was like really bad pain. So anyways, they cleaned all that up and, you know, it's been surgery week. Tell me what your experience of surgery week has been.
I've been taking care of you this whole
yes.
week.
Yes, I'm a little caretaker.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about that. What's that been like?
I mean, okay, so I wouldn't say that it's...
I thought you were going to say, I wouldn't say that it sucks. maybe you were. I don't know, because
no,
you still haven't spoken.
I wouldn't say that it's the... best thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna be completely honest.
Fair. And honest is all I ask for.
Yeah. It's not the best thing.
Right.
But like I feel like it's better than what it could have been.
Totally.
If you were like if you could like completely not walk, couldn't even stand up, you know, that'd be a different story.
Totally.
That probably would have sucked for both of us.
Totally, 100%. This has been a nice on-ramp to caretaking.
Yeah. So I'm getting some practice for when you're old.
Mm, that's a thought that I didn't expect to hear right now. But it's cool. I'm saying, like, whatever. But yes, you are. You know,
yeah.
Pay attention. Take your notes.
Yep.
So
it's not the best thing in the world.
Sure.
I don't think any like real caretaker really thinks it's the best thing. There are definitely some fun moments.
Sure.
But.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
It's challenging. And I think that that's a real thing. Those are real emotions that are probably unexpected for both of us, either of us.
You know what? One thing I kind of thought about this week is kind of like how you thought about taking care of me is like, this is going to sound bad, but taking care of me as a baby.
Yeah.
Like, not referring to you as a baby.
I get it. Trust
but,
me.
Like, making sure that I'm okay.
Yep.
You know, when like, even as a toddler.
Yeah.
You know, making sure I don't get into anything while you're in another room.
Yep.
You know, not that you would get into anything, but make sure that you don't, like, hurt yourself.
Yeah. But like, you've definitely had the moment, like, Dad, what are you doing? Or like, do you need anything? Like if you see me getting up, like, is there something you need?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So kind of being on alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know
you're
smart.
And I can see
smart.
How I know. That can be stressful. Trust me.
Yeah. And I know you're smart and you won't do anything that you know you can't do.
And that's not true though. We just saw me get up
a few
minutes ago.
Yeah.
Without my crutch.
Yes.
And I started walking.
That's very true.
And you said, Dad, your crutch. And I said, I'm good. Oh, no, that doesn't work. And I froze in the middle of the room.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, that's a real thing, though. I think, it's fine. I heard it for a second, but it went off.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a little bit of, got a little feedback on one of her wires. Yeah. It was interesting. You know what that means? That means we've used the equipment enough.
So much.
So that there's been a little bit of, a little bit of wear and tear. And then like there might be a small short in the wire. I like it personally. I'm like, yo, that's awesome to me. Yeah. So anyways.
So yeah, I've kind of been like on high alert.
Yeah.
But like making sure that you're okay and you're not in too much pain and I can get you your meds.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you've been great. You've been great. I've been trying to make sure that I didn't overwhelm you on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've been kind of cognizant of that as much as I could. I think the first, you know, it's interesting. I'm getting that for sure. It was kind of interesting the first couple of days because, so I've been on kind of a, it's only been 5 days since Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and this is now Sunday, November. What is that? Is that? Yeah, that's it. Okay, cool. Better. So kind of been on the mend since Monday, and what I or Tuesday, and what I've noticed, and so this is kind of the way the week's gone. Tuesday was surgery day.
Yep.
I definitely spent the most
also
time
the election.
Down. It was also the election, which we're going to get to in a minute.
Yep. Well, the election was the whole week, but well, yes.
We're going to get to it in a minute.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? The election was the whole week. Healing has been the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so, and for some people, healing just started yesterday on Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Tuesday was election day and it was surgery day and I was down and out for the most part of that day, right? Your mom was here and mm-hmm. she helped with a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
and I basically could not move too much. I was.
Oh, Gracie was also sick.
Yeah. We found out that Gracie was sick on
like. She had trash
the
gut.
The day before. It's been a busy week. Busy week.
Yes, very.
Yep. Found out she was sick. We're having like intestinal problems the day before I went into surgery and mm-hmm. I could not do anything about it.
Yep.
And so we were just kind of hoping and praying for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Gracie is fine, by the way. She's now gone to the vet.
Yep. Taking her meds now.
She's on meds. She solid poop today. Today happened. It was great. It was like, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's no blockages. There's nothing, right? But she's been going throughout that this whole week. So you woke up to a bunch of throw up on Thursday or Friday. I don't even know. Friday, maybe? Friday. And there were six piles. So you had to clean up all the throw up. You've had to get me ice.
Five piles, including pee.
Oh, yeah. There's a pee pile, too.
Because she got nervous or scared
that
she was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But we aren't mad. She's
mad.
Okay.
Yeah. We were more upset, but
scared.
Oh no, Gracie, what'd you do? And oh no, Gracie, what'd you do? They both kind of sound the same. You know, like one's when she got in the trash and then one's when she's barfing because of the trash.
Yes.
Anyways, Gracie's fine. That's been good. But that's been kind of interwoven into our week. Interwoven into your week as a caretaker. And day of surgery, I think I was in pretty high spirits, whatever. I was just, yes, it started, it's healing, and eventually my knee's gonna feel better.
Yeah.
You know? But also heavily medicated. I'm not gonna play that down. because I was. And then the next day, also heavily medicated, and the biggest thing that everyone was telling me was, make sure you take your meds every 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, don't skip, don't wait. And it's basically like what you're doing is you're dosing yourself to kind of stay in this fog or this disconnection of pain, right? And I just don't like the way it makes me feel in my head. Like, I don't like the way I can't think straight. I can't read. I can't write. I can't create. I can't, like, talk well, you know, not that great. And so anyways, so Wednesday, you know, still on that, still kind of like, again, on the mend. Maybe probably still kind of on my back for the majority part of the day. Thursday, same thing. I think by Thursday night, I had stopped taking the meds. Friday, I'm starting to come off of them. But at the same time, as I come off of them, pain starts creeping in. I did not realize how much pain I was in until Saturday morning. actually, which is really weird because normally it's like you're getting off away from pain. And I went from, you know, living the life on Tuesday to in like a lot of pain on Saturday. But I also wanted to make sure that you, because you had kind of been taking care of me this whole week, I wanted to kind of make sure that you had away time. Like you, that feeling that you said that you're on alert, it's interesting. You didn't tell me that. You didn't like, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because you didn't want me to feel bad or whatever it is, but I love what you were saying. And tell me more about that feeling when you said that. It made me realize.
Kind of how, what you yeah, were thinking.
Tell me more about that.
It just kind of like made me realize, again, not saying that you're a baby or a small child.
Right.
You know,
a big child. Clearly.
But like, I feel like that's kind of what, I mean, I can't speak for any parents. I can't speak for you or mom.
Sure.
But I would assume that like having a baby, you're always on high alert.
Always on.
No matter where the baby is, no matter where you are.
Yep.
You know, whether it's you're at work, the baby's at daycare, you're yeah. at home, the baby's in the nursery. You know, you're always kind of like on high alert, making sure that your kid's okay.
Yep.
You know, and so.
And by the way, that still happens.
Yeah.
You're 13.
Yeah.
But
go yeah, ahead. Of course.
Yeah.
But so yeah, kind of just like making sure that they're okay and they're safe and they're
yeah.
like not getting into anything, not doing anything that's going to hurt them.
Right.
You know, and so.
But there's another element that you haven't mentioned, and it's the element of there when they need me. That element, the element of being there when someone needs you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big one. That's a yeah. pressure that we kind of put on ourselves in order to serve someone well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I say, hey, Hannah, just like that. And you're like, yeah. You know, like you're like ready, willing, and able at the sound. Like you can be in your bedroom and I can say that and you're like right there. Mm-hmm. And kind of being on edge on that, or that is kind of a way of being on edge. And I don't take it for granted, by the way. But and I saw you be so willing all week. But I'm sorry, go ahead. You were kind of talking about like or did you had you pretty much finished the
yeah,
the point?
I finished.
Okay. So that's a kind of a caretaker mentality. That's kind of a caretaker. That's something that you can get caretaker syndrome, I think it's called, where like you actually burn out.
Mm.
While you're trying to take care of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, what's the point of that? now.
So you were saying that you kind of wanted me to have that weekend and then yeah. I went over to mom's.
Yeah. And that's kind of the idea. The idea was to make sure that you're not burning out. And then also what it does is it allows you to recharge. I say, what's the point of that? And I don't want to sound like that's too like passive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are caretakers of another person that have no choice but to be that person's primary caretaker
yeah.
all day, every day. And it's much worse than filling the ice bucket and doing the things that we
oh,
do.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think that this has been a good example and a good on-ramp into it. But I think that it's been a really interesting way to kind of look at what it is to be a caretaker. But then also what I hope that you got and what I hope that it kind of did for you to go with your mom. You and your mom had talked about you just staying all weekend. You staying all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then all day Sunday. And instead, I asked your mom if we could stick to our normal schedule.
Mm-hmm.
She takes you on Friday. Well, normally you go on Thursday maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
But either way, this way, you know, I'm really thankful that you were here on Friday morning because, you know, the vomit brigade. but you were here. So you did go with her on Friday. You did stay with her on Saturday. And then you came back today, earlier
yep,
today.
Yep.
And that's on purpose. And I think that's kind of the point of talking about it. I wanted to make sure that it was on purpose and that you were able to step away and experience rest and experience the benefit of that. You know, you came back today, your hair straightened. You came back today, you're like, you know what I'm saying? Like your energy is a little bit different. You missed me. You know, not that you didn't miss me, like sitting here with me all day, but you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like you're literally here. And so those are things that are just like, I just want you to understand that was on purpose. That was on purpose because I think that I've I have been a person with bad habits mm-hmm. when it comes to caretaking mm-hmm. and taking care of other people. And I want to make sure that I'm at least showing you what some good habits are.
Yeah.
And it's good and healthy habit to pull away and take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're taking care of somebody else. Mm-hmm. You bring up a great point with parenting. And, you know, I'm kind of like going right along with you. Like, it's like that for parents. Parents are like this. Parents are like, you know, you're there every single day, every single morning as a baby. There's no other entity in the world that's going to take care of you except for me yeah. or your mom yeah. or whatever. And it was me and your mom. Like, it was I had you all day and your mom had you all night for the first like 4 years, you know, like until you started preschool. And so, you know, that's all that's going on. But just to encourage parents to make sure that they're taking a break and taking some time as a caretaker. It does something different for your soul. It gives you more energy for, you can be a better caretaker that 5 or 6 days if you just kind of have someone help you, you know, with that 6 day or ask people for help. And so I want to make sure that you had that. But this season has been kind of incredible. This week has been kind of incredible. Connor signed us up for a meal train. And tell me what you have witnessed with that, because I have some ideas. But like with food coming every day from a different human being, what's that experience been like for you?
I think it's actually pretty cool because like there are some people I haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like I haven't seen them like from last time we were in church.
Right.
Or like just in a while.
Yeah.
Or heard from them, you know. And so, and kind of also to see you kind of like be happy about it and you be like, you kind of just talk to them out on the front porch, you know, because like we're on the first floor and you can, and our porch is like right there.
Yeah.
And so people are just able to put the food, like we're able to go out there and just have them put the food on there and then we grab it, you know, and still kind of talk like socially distance.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's cool to do that and kind of see you talk to them. Because Miss Teresa came today and you were just like kind of talking to her while I was getting dinner ready.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool because I know you missed her.
Yeah.
You know, I missed her as well. And I was really happy that I was able to see her today. Because I don't think either of us have been at Soul City in a while, like just with school.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so, it was just good to see her.
Yeah.
And kind of connect with really everybody who's come.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really a blessing, and I want to make sure, and I want to confess something. When Connor first told me that he was signing me up for the meal train thing, I knew what it was. I've had experience with it, providing meals for other people. But I, like, my knee jerk reaction was like, "Damn it!" To be honest, and the reason why. My confession is that the reason why was because I knew that I was going to be having something done, surgery. I knew I was going to have surgery done. I knew I wasn't going to feel well. And I know myself so well that I knew that when I don't feel well, that I like to hide. And I like to hide to a point where I don't like to interact with people. Because it forces me to kind of have a conversation. What it does in reality is it forces me to come out and it forces me to not hide. And I like to hide because I know when I don't feel well, I know that I feel depressed and I know that I hide. And so when I had a gut reaction, when he said that he was setting up the meal train and it wasn't good, I told Teresa today, I even tried to convince him like, no, just start a prayer train. Like it just have someone like check on me or text me or send me a prayer every day. That would be amazing. And he still set up the meal train, you know? And I'm really glad that he did set up the meal train because what it's done is it's taught me this last few days, it's just taught me the value of not hiding. So much so that on Monday I started, remember what I told you I was talking about earlier today that I started posting on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I was so, it made me, that whole experience and that whole thought process and me actually having a reaction to it, it made me realize that I was just about to start hiding again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to hide. And I don't I have no interest in hiding anymore on anything. The good, the bad, the nothing. God's told me to share. So sometimes it's going to be good. Sometimes it's not going to be so good. It's just the way it is. But I think that there's going to be a balance. Hopefully there's going to be a balance to it. Please, God, let there be a balance to it. You know, I don't want to share all bad things all the time. That would just suck. Mm-hmm. But I posted and I said, I know me. I know that I have a depression trigger. First of all, I had the surgery coming up. It was election day. It was all these things. There's uncertainty in our future. There's all these things that are coming up. God's asking me to step out and start this ministry. And I'm literally sitting here looking at like 7 or 8 things in my face that can make me depressed by the end of the week. And so I just kind of, I called it audible. And I said, instead of hiding, I'm going to talk about it. Instead of hiding, I'm going to actually invite people into checking on me so that I can't hide. So if I would get quiet, so I've made a commitment. I post every single day on Facebook or Instagram. And if you don't see a post that day, you have permission to call me out of my cave. Come get me. Maybe I need it. I don't know. I've been trying to be like, I've been trying to stay so like dialed in that I don't need it. But that's what's been going on. Pain has been serious. Today's been, you know, another painful day. Mm-hmm. But after cutting off, after stopping the narcotics, I'm telling you what, I'd rather this. I'd rather it hurt. Like you heard me yell earlier today. I'd rather feel that and be able to create and use my mind while I'm down than just numb out.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot of different things that I'll be writing about soon. But I think some of the things have to do with just patterns I saw my dad in with narcotics and drugs and things that numbed him out and the addiction that I saw him become possessed by and just kind of what it did to him and to his life. He kind of lost everything. He lost like his family because it was more important for him to shoot up morphine than it was for him to, you know, parent. And yeah. My dad had a reason. He had sickle cell. So all these things are kind of like triggers in my mind. But another big trigger was the election. And I can tell it's a trigger for you just by your reaction right now. So I want you to kind of go through from Tuesday to now for you personally with this election. Right.
So, yeah, that kind of just sums the whole week. So on Tuesday, or I feel like everything just leading up to this has been crazy.
Yeah.
So many rumors, so many real things that are actually happening, that are going to happen, that might have happened, you know, people losing rights.
Yeah.
You know, just was way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Yeah.
For me, and I'm sure everybody else who was threatened by Donald Trump,
sure,
who has been dealing with him for 4 years as our president.
Yeah.
And Dad even said, we're not going to make this a podcast. We're not going to say things to remind ourselves how bad of a person Trump is.
Yeah.
But I guess kind of just like the point of me bringing him up in that moment is saying that like there's been so much in the last 4 years leading up to this like that day on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So much.
He's created a powder keg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's created so much hate. Yeah. He's created so much like negativity.
Yeah.
And it's just not what we need.
Yeah.
At all.
Not at all.
Especially during a pandemic. Yeah. You know, everything he's said, everything he's done, especially during this time, you know, it's not right.
Yeah.
And I will admit I probably don't know that much about like politics itself, but I know that Trump is not a very good human being.
Yeah.
But like you even said, you've been praying for him.
Yeah.
People like we've been praying for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
as hard as it may be.
Literally have prayed for him.
Yes, as hard as it may be.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, I feel like, the most important thing to kind of remember is that, like, God still loves Trump.
Yeah, 100%.
And I know it's really hard, really, really hard for other people to love Trump.
Yeah.
But we have to love everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And so everything leading up to that election, leading up to that day.
Yeah.
Everything we learned during that time about Trump, about Biden, about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
About Mike Pence.
Yeah.
You know, everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
Is, has just been like...
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. Tumultuous.
A lot. Yes. And so on Tuesday, I guess I feel like everyone might have been expecting like it to be over that day.
Yeah.
But it just kept going.
Yeah.
You know, it kept going. Like it did not stop. And so, and we could say that like it was all like Nevada taking their time, you know, but like it's just that stress during that whole week of me kind of like I have screenshots on my phone of taking like screenshots of the electoral map on Google every day and like, or different times during the day, see how much Biden went up, see how much Trump went up.
Yeah.
And, the last screenshot I have of that electoral map is Biden having 290. Over 270, obviously. Yeah. And then Trump, I think 214.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the last screenshot I have of that electoral map, on Google. And so, and I think I took that screenshot on Saturday.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Late Saturday.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just everything leading up to that, that Saturday.
Yep.
Or even that Tuesday, you know, because I feel like people just thought it was going to be over on Tuesday.
Some people did. Some a lot of us knew that it was not, it was going to drag on.
Yeah.
Just because there were so many mail-in ballots.
And that was
part of what I was trying to explain to you on Tuesday or Monday. I think that, you know, Monday was actually a pretty interesting day for you and me, because I remember feeling how stressed out you were about the election. But then you had the election and you had your dad's going into surgery tomorrow.
Yep.
And I felt it. And I remember like trying to take that day slow and take that day, just kind of be intentionally with you, whatever. And you just had a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember like going through and like, hey, look, you know, I really know what this is going to be about. The surgery thing is going to be about, and we're, you know, but here's the things, here's what I know, you know, here's where we are. And I, we kind of talked about mail-in ballots and it's going to take a few days and nothing's going to actually explode on, you know, election day either way, but it's still a lot, still a lot to carry. So now you're at Saturday. And, you know,
and so
I had a chance to actually deliver the news, which is awesome.
So I had slept in like pretty late. It was probably like, what, 12? You texted me a few times. I hadn't seen it because I was still asleep.
Yeah, because you're up till 4 in the morning.
And so you had called me.
Yeah.
I'd woken up to your FaceTime call.
Yeah.
And you'd said, Hannah, I've been texting and calling you all morning.
Yeah.
Have you been sleeping? I said, yeah. Because I actually thought I was like kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And you were like, Biden won. I was like my eyes literally just like opened so big.
Totally did.
So big.
It popped open. It was hilarious. And
like, because I had just woken up.
Yeah.
So I was still kind of like half asleep.
Yep.
And so like when my eyes went open, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, is this a dream?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yep.
And so, yeah, like, you had told
history.
Me.
This is history. Yeah. I want you to get online, get up, check it out.
Yeah. Go look.
There's people dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm trying to tell you all those things, but I just wanted you to get up and, you know, catch it while history is happening.
Yeah. And I did that. So after you told me that, I actually like kind of got up. I was looking at like, the news and stuff like that and seeing like people celebrating, you know, and seeing everybody like so happy.
Yeah.
And
but
yes, there's a but.
Yeah.
I didn't fully process anything probably until like 11 or 10, 11 at night.
That night.
PM.
Yeah.
And so like it was a whole day. I like my mom, like mom had came in, I was still kind of like just in bed. I had woken up. She came into my room and was just kind of like talking to me. Asking if I had like anything to present, present, if I had anything to eat for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was kind of like just dancing a little bit. I was like, we have a new president, to mom. And she was kind of just laughing mm-hmm. at me. And so like, but even in that moment, I was yeah. like,
still okay. hadn't clicked.
Yeah. Okay. Like I understand that, but.
So tell me the moment that it clicked.
Okay. So what I, was it was, yeah, it was probably like 10, 11 at night.
Yeah.
And I was in the shower.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like standing there, like washing my hair. And then I was like, I was kind of just thinking about the day, like just kind of like closing my eyes and like just massaging my head a bit. Just kind of thinking about the day and thinking kind of like that day was kind of like happy mm-hmm. just in general, yeah. even though I was kind of in bed all day.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, I was happy that day.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't fully click.
Yeah.
I didn't fully understand. I mean, I had understood. I understand what happened.
Right.
But like you said, it didn't fully click in my mind.
Yeah, there's so much to process.
So much.
So much to think through.
And then there's like so all the added. So many bad thoughts
have already taken seat.
Yeah. There's all like the added like kind of threats.
Yeah.
From Trump.
Yeah.
Saying.
Yeah.
That he's going to like.
Already trying to erode the confidence yeah, in it.
Yeah. And yeah, saying that he's going to like call fraud.
Yeah.
And he's not going to give up. Office
yeah.
Or give up his seat in office easily.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was all that added stress that like I was still was kind of just making sure that I was true and real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though you had told me.
Yeah, and you saw it and all I the saw news.
Everything, like yeah. all the news.
Yeah.
And
it's interesting.
But I was still kind of like making sure like it just wasn't fully processed.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I was in that, it was when I was in the shower, like it was really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And like I almost started crying because like there's so much stuff that we've been through.
Yeah.
In this year.
Yeah.
In this month.
Yeah.
In this week.
Yeah. In this week. Yeah.
Like so much so that much. Just happened in a week.
In a week.
And so all of that kind of ending.
Yeah.
Not ending, but
sure.
All of that settling.
Yeah.
And being able to realize that it is real and yeah. it is like happening and yeah. it has happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so like I couldn't help but cry.
Yeah.
Because there was so much.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. So much there, so much in my head, so yeah. much in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
That right. like it's way too much to process. It's yeah. even like crazy to think now.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
we've been fighting this fight for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and fighting these feelings for so long.
Yeah. And just pent up and had them like yeah. just bottled up
and so much kind of like
almost like hard to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like kind of going to that, kind of being able to breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
You're yeah. kind of like, it was kind of like a really long inhale.
Yeah.
Just kind of like holding that in yeah. like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then like, Once that set in the shower, like I was able to take that exhale, able to take that like
yeah.
meditation almost.
Oh yeah, yeah, therapeutic.
Yeah,
I felt that. I felt that in you. I felt that in me. I felt that in like kind of like the way the country felt like it like
mm-hmm.
breathed a sigh of relief. And the reality is, only half the country. Breathe a sigh of relief.
Yep.
Only half the country. A little bit over half the country. The other half is pissed. I mean, like, probably avidly pissed.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of division created in this. A lot of division created in this space.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was just like, you know, there is nothing you can tell me about a person that supports Trump that I care about, that I care to hear. He is so, I think, hurt by some, by so much of the ideas, by so many of the ideas, so many of the, so much of the rhetoric, so many of the words that have become so divisive. Here's the thing. Strip politics away. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, politics and all that kind of good, all that kind of stuff. Like, this isn't, this wasn't, this is not like a normal political thing. Just mm-hmm. so you know, I know this is the first time that you're paying attention to politics. You were nine when Donald Trump got into elected into office, and you're like, whatever, you know, like, can I have my skateboard now? You know, like, it didn't even matter, you know, like, but now it does, and it's gonna matter forever. And the thing that makes me sad, the thing that breaks my heart, is that you have just witnessed the abnormally hurtful presidency of our most current president.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me and it breaks my heart that you have had to, that this is your experience. This is your first experience in politics. Now, I'm not saying that politics is amazing, because it ain't. It's a bunch of people talking, making a whole bunch of deals and side deals and left deals and right deals and BS and whatever it is. I'm not a fan of politics pretty much in any arena. I don't care what it is. I don't care. Work politics, church politics, politics. I don't care. I am not built well for politics. I used to think I was going to be president of the United States. I think I will not be president of the United States now more than ever in my life, because I do not like having there being a misalignment of the person that I am and having to present a different reality to a certain person because of an external set of rules, period. I don't like it. That's why I'm not a big politics fan anymore. I pay attention to everything. I understand, like, how, you know, I understand that there's, you know, big corporations and all of this money in here and this people, and there's people here and there's, you know, interest here, and there's some politics that kind of play it well, that they can kind of include people's interest in with political gain mixed with, you know, capital gain. And I know that I have no interest in that game. That's the thing. I have no interest in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's like the cutest thing in the world, right? I pay attention to all of it. I was a political science major. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but fascinated by it. You hear me when I say that. But this right here, I can understand where my friend was coming from, at least. I don't agree with him. I'm going to say that. I do not agree with a stance that says there's another set of human beings in the world. There's 70 million people in the world that I do not have any interest in communicating with. Mm-hmm. That's not my stance. I can understand where his stance comes from, because this has been a season of 4 years unlike anything we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
We have watched. It is the crazy part about it is I blame less of it on Donald Trump than I actually do on the United States, on what's already there, what's already been there. This just gave people the permission to say it. And when you give permission to say it, when the leader of the world gives permission for people to be divisive, to be racist, to be misogynistic, to be locker room talk, when you give permission at the highest level for people to unleash their worst, the worst things that are inside of them, you get the last 4 years. That's what happens. When you manipulate the truth constantly, this is what happens. When you lie constantly, this is what happens. When you have a better relationship with self-interest than you have in the interest of preserving and protecting and serving others, this is what happens. And so I am sorry that this is your first example into politics. The sigh of relief that we both felt on Saturday probably wasn't that the best human being in the world is now the president of the United States. Because we don't know that. I don't really know that. There's some things that don't add up about Joe.
Yeah, I was just kind of like talking to you about it. Like, we know earlier, Joe Biden is not the perfect president. No, I don't think any politician in this world is perfect.
Right, exactly right.
Every single human being, even. But even, like, politician you know, was either done, said something that might not have been the best thing to say. And so, like, with realizing that, I feel like the reason why so many people were so happy was that Trump wasn't going to be president.
Yeah.
People probably were excited, like really excited, really happy that Joe Biden was going to be president, but only for the reason that Trump wasn't going to be in office anymore.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
And
yes.
Yeah, there are like kind of two sides to that. There's sure. like being happy that being happy that Trump's gone.
Yeah.
And being happy that Biden is our new president and not really caring about where Trump goes or what Trump does. Yeah. You know.
So how does it feel now? How does your outlook on the future, outlook on hope, how does that feel now?
I said it before, I'm kind of going to say it again. I don't really know that much about like politics, sure. you know, but I know that there are certain things that you don't say.
Yeah.
Certain things that you don't do.
Yeah.
As a politician, as someone who wants to serve the country.
Yeah.
And that person probably is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, like, I know about Biden. I know who Joe Biden is, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know that much about him from his past.
You know more about Kamala Harris.
I do.
Yeah. So tell me about Kamala.
So Kamala Harris.
And you lit up like a Christmas tree when I just mentioned it. Tell me about it.
Let's Kamala Harris is the first African American South
Asian
mm-hmm. Vice president.
That's right.
And
woman?
And yes, I said that.
Okay.
Yes. So she's the first female vice president.
And the first person of color.
First person of color.
Yep.
Yep. As vice president.
So what does that feel like? What is that?
Oh, it's amazing.
Tell me why.
I mean, it's amazing for the fact that like it shows me that I'm able to do whatever a man's able, whatever a man can do.
That's right.
Like my gender, who I identify as does not define me.
That's right.
Unless I want it to define me.
Sure.
You know, I can completely make that decision,
yeah.
you know, but me being a woman,
yeah.
you know, in this world is going to come with a lot of challenges, a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a sad, really sad truth.
That's true. That's a sad truth. Yes.
Like going to like not being paid the same as a man in my jobs, in my future jobs, you know, being like discriminated against. Because I'm a woman and I am like some people think that women aren't smarter than men or like men are superior.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to say that's not true, but I'm also not going to say it's not false because like if that makes sense,
okay,
because I don't know, I think that women hold so much power.
I think pretty much all the power in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Like going from like giving birth to children.
That's right.
You know, like going from not having rights at all to having rights.
Yeah.
You know, us fighting for rights as just to be treated as a normal human being.
Yeah.
Like and not seen just for a gender.
Yeah.
You know, like
I don't want to hijack this part of the conversation. I want you to finish this. But as a person that holds that opinion, I want to identify a few things that I think make it that women have so much power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned one of them, creating life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention another one that women are just better than men at is empathy.
Mm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I want to point out the power of empathy that is born in a woman because you care, because you can bring life into the world,
mm-hmm.
and because you have built something that's built inside of you that automatically helps you to care for, identify, raise, develop,
mm-hmm.
that to me, that one of the single most amazing things about what God's done with creating a woman is to put all that in one being and then let that being raise sons and daughters, you know. And I'm not saying that men shouldn't be there, won't be there, whatever, and aren't there. I'm not even going to the opposite side of any of the stereotypes or nothing. I'm not going to addressing any of that. What I'm just saying is, it is just powerful, the power that a woman has in life, in development, and it's incredible. And that can be taken in all the directions, all the way up the corporate ladder, through the glass ceiling that we just saw shatter into a million pieces on Saturday for vice presidents.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I just wanted to chime in there. So I agree 100%. Women have power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. The fact that, like, now Kamala Harris is our vice president, is going to be serving next to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
In fighting for women's rights, fighting for LGBTQ plus rights, fighting for black lives, fighting for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, who is discriminated against because of who they are.
Yeah. I have a question for you real quick. Do you think that that her sitting in that seat, this is an interesting thought that I had the other day, yesterday. Her sitting in that seat, do you think that the fight for equality falls on her shoulders more than Joe?
Oh no. I feel like it definitely is more powerful when she fights for women's rights, but it also is very powerful when Joe fights for women's rights, because he is fighting for women's rights and 100%. Women's like rights to be counted as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a powerful thing for a man to be standing up for women.
Yeah.
You know, and realizing that, like, women matter just as much as any other human being.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but it's also powerful to the fact that, like, Kamala Harris is now vice president. So she's, like, what, the second highest person in the United States right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I feel like a lot of that can fall on her, but a lot of it also falls on Joe, but also the people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point.
Like, there's three parts to that.
Yeah.
I feel like Kamala is the one who is able to start it and able to, like, begin it.
Sure.
And then Joe's able to fight with her. Joe's able to do it with her. And then the people are able to finish it.
Yeah.
Like,
That's beautiful.
Like, I don't really know if that makes any sense, but
total sense.
But yeah. So, like, Kamala's able to begin it.
Yeah.
Kamala's able to begin the fight, begin the revolution.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing, that this is the reason why I think that thought was coming up for me. Is she the one that spearheads it? And the reason why I thought that is, as a person of color, as a minority, my whole life. You know, sometimes you get tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just like all day, every day. So now I'm not, you know, for me, it's been, okay, so now I don't really fit in with white people. I don't really fit in with black people, but I identify as black people, but, you know, I got to convince y'all, and then I got to convince y'all. And then you got to know where I'm at, but then you got to know that past all the convincing that I'm a good person, blah, blah. And I got to fight to get to the, you know, to the next thing or the opportunity or whatever it is. And if I get to the next opportunity, and the next thing you know, I have the next opportunity, and they're like, guess what you get to do? You get to fight for everybody now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's kind of jury's out a little bit on, I know that it's going to be a team effort, but I could feel myself already saying, and she said it in her speech yesterday. She started to have conversation around, you know, around that plight, around that fight. But man, let me tell you what's exhausting. Having to fight all the time. Having to get to, I mean, literally people will say that this is the highest office in the land. Can't really get too much higher unless she's president. You know what I'm saying? And who knows what's going to happen in the next 4 years. And so, like, with that, imagine fighting to be seen all your life, fighting to be heard all your life, fighting to be understood all your life, fighting to be. And now your fight is to fight, to be the tip of the spear for the fight. And so I think what I'm saying is, yeah, I think that there's, it seems like she'd be, if she's willing, you know, if she's willing to, you know, if she's willing, and I think he's going to be smart for her to put really amazing people around her that are like in the fight with her.
Yeah.
And able to lift her up and able to help, you know, keep her hands up. He keep her hands raised when she needs it. But it was just an interesting thought that I had, and I just kind of wondered what you thought. You know, it's because even the way you talk about it, it sounds like obviously she'd do it.
Yeah.
And I want to say probably obviously that she does it. I also want to say that I can also recognize kind of being tired sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can recognize that. And so we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for Joe Biden. We're going to pray for Donald Trump. We're going to pray for Mike Pence. We're going to pray for everybody that's involved in this election. We're going to pray for us. That's how we're going to close. We're going to pray for everybody in this, because you're right. It's been a tough 4 years. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough month. It's been a tough week. And we need prayer. And we need to make sure that we're continuously praying. We're continuously listening to what God wants us to do. That makes us better in this world.
Mm-hmm.
That helps bring people together. Seriously. That helps to heal. This has been a week of healing for me. It's been a week of healing for the country. And I think it's going to be years of healing. I know that we have a ton of work to do. We have so much work to do. We have so much into the things that you even spoke to earlier about that you know, we need to be making sure that people are covered with their rights, that they're acknowledged, they're celebrated, that they're free, that they're loved. You know, we have a lot of work to do. But will you start us in prayer, and then I'll finish, and I'm going to give you this task. I'm going to ask you to pray for Donald J. Trump. I'm going to ask you to pray for Mike Pence. And I'm going to ask you to pray for their whole administration. And 70 million people. 70 million people that voted for and supported Donald J. Trump and that administration. That's what I'm going to ask you to pray for. And then I'll pray for...
So you get the good people? Shouldn't have said that.
I can delete it. I'm just kidding. I won't.
No.
But...
So you're going to pray for Biden and Kamala?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
Okay.
And I'm going to pray for everybody else. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Dear God, I just want to pray for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
People who support them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they need healing,
mm-hmm.
heal them. Heal their hearts.
Yeah.
Heal their minds. Make sure that they have open minds.
Mm-hmm.
And are able to see other people and other sides of this political debate,
mm-hmm.
but also that we are able to have open minds and not have set opinion on who to love and who not to love,
mm-hmm.
because you tell us to love everybody, and that's what right. we're going to do.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter who they support. Doesn't matter if they're a Trump supporter, if they're a Biden supporter, you will love them and we will love them as well.
Yeah.
I just want to pray for Donald J. Trump
mm-hmm.
and Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all of their following and all of the people who do support both of them.
Yeah.
I also want you to heal Donald Trump and Mike Pence's heart.
Yeah.
'Cause you know they need it.
Yeah.
And heal their minds, and because you know they need it.
Yeah.
And Yeah. I do also want to thank you for everything that you've given us and the opportunities you've given us to change our minds, change our opinions, change who we are for the best, for you.
Yeah.
Whether that's coming to the realization that supporting Trump maybe isn't what you want or what you want us to think and believe, because we know that you want us to believe in you.
Yeah.
Not in anybody else.
That's right.
And so I want to thank you for the people who have realized that with supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Isn't against you, but maybe against other people.
Mm-hmm. Which is against you.
Oh, yeah.
Which is against God's heart. And Lord, I just want to thank you for my little girl. I know that I gave her a hard task. I know that. That's my job. You've trusted me with this little girl in her life and her development, her spiritual development, her mental, emotional health development. And I thank you for it. And I'm just really proud of her for praying in a way that might feel foreign sometimes. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to lean into things that allow us to grow. That just saying the words, I could just hear her, Lord, say the words to you. And then I could literally feel you working inside her heart. And anyone that listened to that prayer could hear you working inside of her heart and opening her eyes, opening her spiritual eyes as she was in the prayer. So I thank you for her willingness to participate in that. I thank you for her willingness to let you guide her. I thank you for the ways that you are guiding her. And that's my first prayer. Lord, for our elect president and our elect vice president and their staff and their campaign and their everything, Lord, I pray that you just put your blessing around them. I pray, Lord, that you, same way Hannah prayed, that you would open their minds, that you would open their heart, that you would change their hearts, that you would improve their hearts, that anything, Lord, that's going on inside of them that's not of you, Lord, that you figure out a way to extract it from their hearts, that they can be leaders, Lord, that don't just claim you by name, but that it can identifiably be witnessed in the way that they walk and the way that they treat people, that this fight for equal rights of all humans that live in the United States of America is one that is real, is a fight that is not just said in the moment of an election time, that is in the heart of this campaign, in the heart of these 4 years, that really bringing this country back together really does happen, Lord, and that bringing people and uniting people really is what they're all about. That's what I pray for. I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for anyone that speaks truth, anyone that quotes you, anyone that takes on the responsibility of leading. I pray, Lord, that you more and more and more refine them into what it is that you want them to do in this world. That their own agendas wash away. That your agenda is the only one that's left. That's what I'm asking for, Lord. The people that are leaders in this world, that they are blessed, so blessed, that their ideas, their plans wash down the river. And the only thing that's left, Lord, is your plan, is your way, your ideas for unity. Because only you know. We don't have any idea. We have decent at best ideas. But we know that your plan is perfect. We know that your timing is perfect. And we ask for you to step in and take over the timing, the planning. For I pray this over my leaders at Soul City. I pray this over the leaders of the Christian community. I pray this over the leaders of our country. I pray this over myself, Lord, as a leader in your kingdom. I pray this over any leader who calls himself a follower of Christ to model their behavior after Christ, to love people the way Christ would, to unify the people the way Christ would. Jesus did not take up root with offense and with division. Jesus literally crushed division. He literally united people. He made your words, God, your law, your love available not just to the Jews that were privy to it first, but he said to the Gentiles too, to the people that you do not love, that you hate, that you would call your enemies, that you would extend love to people that you call your enemies. That's what Jesus did. And I pray that over this country in the name of Jesus. I pray that we find ourselves in a situation, Lord, to think that we're right and then to find out that we have a long way to go. And we have a long way to go in you. And we have a long way to go to unifying and connecting people. I pray, Lord, that you are gentle with us because we need it. Mm-hmm. that you spell it out because that's what we need. We don't have any way of kind of really figuring it out on our own. Like I said, we have good ideas. We have decent ideas at best, but you just seem to make a way always. Mm-hmm. You just seem to connect people always. You tear down walls always. And so we just are relentlessly relying on you this season. And we thank you for everything you're going to do. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to record today and to just have a good conversation with my kid. I pray, Lord, this becomes more and more and more easy to do as we continue to just be in this world, but not of this world. Surrounded by all the chaos, but not getting swept up in the chaos. And that's the prayer that I have for me and my kid through all this. And for her mom, and for my mom, and for her granddad, and for our families, and for everyone that's kind of connected, and anyone that can hear this podcast, Lord, mm-hmm. that we just kind of stay in a place where we're in this craziness, but we're not getting swept up by this craziness.
Yeah.
Because we're rooted. Like we got our roots in the ground. We have our roots next to cool streams of refreshing water. That's yours. That's your energy. That's your life. That's your word that we get a chance to drink from every day. And I just pray, Lord, in that rooting, I just pray for that over this country in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It always feels good. It's always worth it. Where's late tonight? It's 9. It was 9 when we started recording. It's 9:07 now. It's 10:03 now.
9:07.
It was 9. It was before 9 when we started recording. I'm sorry. It's 1 hour and 7 minutes that we've been talking.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good one.
What time is it?
10:03. You got to take a shower.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I straightened my hair yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I washed my hair and straightened my hair so I wouldn't have to take a shower.
Cool.
Anyway.
Anyways, love you so much. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get another one out this week.
Yep.
Got nothing but time.
Not for me. You have all the time in the world.
Whatever. I know. All right. I love you so much.
Love you, Dad.